everybody, this is Marta Taylor and you're listening to Pit to Book Ingredients. Today's topic, I'm dedicating it totally to illustrators, how to find a job as a pit to book illustrator, and joining us will be Vanessa Mate. More people than ever are writing and illustrating picture books and creating a community on social media. Some are working through publishers and others self-publishing. And on this show, I like to sit down with other creatives and storytellers to discuss the ideas, the opportunities, and learn from them and take their advice so the rest of us can do the same and get out there into the picture book world. Before we get started, I did want to go over with you some tips for you to add in your portfolio. Tip number one, know what you like to draw. Draw what you like and then you'll get hired for drawing exactly this. In my case, I honestly don't like drawing trucks or cars or other transports or vehicles and stuff like that. And I don't do very big cities either. So I draw animals and friendly characters and characters and lots of nature. And if you visit my portfolio, that's what you get. And that's what I get hired for picture books that have to do with nature really or animals. And since I avoid totally drawing trucks and cars and cities, I usually don't get jobs related to that, which is fine for me. It's not what I want to do anyway. But yeah, figure out what you love to draw and do that so you get hired for it. Tip number two, I do think it's quality over quantity. Do your best work and only show your best work on your portfolio. I think it's much better to have just the top 10 illustrations than have 30 of just a bit random ones or ones that aren't so nice or important. So then people who are check out your portfolio, they'll actually see what you're really worth and they'll want you for those massive, beautiful, strong, with a message illustrations rather than the just sketches, but you have to post something so you will. And those illustrations, I usually save them for my social media and I usually say, I did this, I'm not sure if you like it, let me know in your comments. But for my portfolio, I only put the best of the best. Which takes me to tip number three. Since the illustrations are the best of the best, I do think for especially the picture book industry, every illustration should tell a story. Obviously I do put some character sheets and stuff like that, but to think that there's a story behind it and that just by looking at it you can imagine what's happening to the character inside the illustration. Next tip, include lots of sample of the same style. Be unique and consistent in your art style. I know this can be a bit difficult because just like me, I have several art styles, but I find it confusing if you go to someone's portfolio and you see that they do from character designs to picture books, and then they have a very modern graphic, and then they have a minimal style, and it's all muddled up together, and you don't know really what you want. If you want to concentrate on picture books, well, choose one style and do a portfolio for that. And if you want to do editorial illustration, you can do that. Or if you want to do a modern design one to do logos and print that, or minimal, I think that's another kind of portfolio you should concentrate on. Merging the two together, I just find it very confusing. So I would recommend just sticking with one style for your portfolio. Another tip that really, really helps, draw a lot of children because children books have a lot of children. And if you don't know how to draw kids, start practicing. I really like drawing animals. It's my favorite thing. I'm not so interested in drawing kids, but I've had to learn. So can you. And honestly, most of my picture books have had children. So it's a must. I would definitely include that in your portfolio so they can see how you draw the children as well and how you relate the children to the rest of the illustration. It's a nice idea to also incorporate into your portfolio a book cover because, I mean, after all, you go to a bookstore and the first thing you see is the cover book, and that might make you buy or not buy the book. So including a book cover in your portfolio shows your skills of this kind of marketing, showing how your illustration can appeal really. Also, something that I do that I'm not sure if many people do, I place my top illustrations at the top of the page and my next top at the last, at the bottom of the page, and in the middle I have a little bit of the rest. So when they're going down my portfolio page, they start with the very nice illustrations, but then they don't end in disappointment either. So I like to kind of like keep it as nice as I can throughout. So I do end up mixing them up together, but the best first, and I leave some of the best for last as well. If you want to start in the picture book industry, get out there, start posting it on social media, get critiqued, learn more, and just go for it. Stop being shy, stop hiding in a corner. I know sometimes it's scary to put your art out there and get lots of critiques back when it's a piece you've been dedicating hours to and you really, really like. But actually, that's the way how you learn. Just go for it. Hello, Vanessa. Thank you for joining us today. It's great to talk to you finally in person. I've watched so many of your YouTube videos. It's actually like I've really talked to you in the past because I've been watching you on YouTube.
Well, I'm happy to see you in person for the first time, and thank you so much for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do?
Yeah, so my name is Vanessa, but on my channel, I'm known as Ness from Art Business with Ness. I couldn't resist the fun. I've been a freelance illustrator since 2018. Time just flies.
Yeah, it really does.
Then I've illustrated 7 books. I mean, picture books mostly, although lately I've been transitioning to surface illustration, which has been really interesting. And I also do YouTube, where I teach tips for aspiring illustrators to get better at the business side of things.
I do recommend everyone watching her videos. I will leave the link below. They actually have been really helpful for me in the past as well. So I recommend it for everyone who wants to get in the illustration career.
Yeah, I just noticed a lot of artists don't really like the business side of things and are not like quite good at it. And mostly because they don't know enough about it. And to me personally, I love the business side of things. It's kind of a game for me. So I tried a bunch of different things. So I know what works, what doesn't. I refined, I'm trying ideas all the time. And I love to share that on my channel.
Well, what I do like about your channel is that most don't end up saying the whole truth, but I think you just went out and said everything you could for us and didn't hide anything for yourself. You like just say everything and really help for everyone. I just really appreciated that.
Telling it like it is. There are a bunch of things out there that just do not work or that I have not succeeded at, and I just lay it out there.
Yeah. So there's a lot of ground I wanted to cover today. We can just dive directly into our topic.
Let's go.
So as an illustrator, do you think we should take a few steps before we even start looking for jobs in the children's book industry?
Absolutely. So the first thing that we need is to specialize, to decide what we want to do, right? Before we can get anywhere, we need to know where we're going at. And a lot of artists like to do a bunch of different things, different styles, different markets. And I can totally understand that. But I'm always a big fan of just doing one thing at one time, because then you're not all over the place. And having a strong portfolio that reflects that one style and one market that you want to get work at, it just makes you seem as much more of an expert, someone who knows what they're doing, and it's really going to help you out. And if that portfolio is not as strong as you can make it, all the rest kind of falls apart. So that's really the first foundation step.
You said we should all concentrate in like a niche, if you want to say it, or in one thing. Do you think there's any advice you can give to someone who's actually trying to find their niche or what they want to do?
Mm-hmm. I say always try to be very intentional about it. A lot of artists are just kind of waiting for the realization to happen, right? Finding your style. I don't like the phrase finding your style. You're choosing your style. It's a bunch of decisions that you're making intentionally. So you have to experiment to know what works for you, but then you have to choose, you know, what kind of line work, what kind of shading, what kind of coloring, all of that stuff. And so just do a lot of research in markets, same thing, do a lot of research, and then you have to choose. And they're all good options, you know, all styles are beautiful, all markets are fun. So it's really a matter of choosing something, you know, choosing a direction to walk. And you can always change your mind later, you know.
That's
it's not
true.
You're not locked in for your whole life.
I always keep on learning and trying new things, but it's like you say, it is a choice of me trying this new pen or this new way to do something. And it's not a creative, like it is a creative flow, but it's like I choose to try a new style. So I do agree with you on that.
Exactly. And in your personal work, you can and should experiment as much as you like. And that helps your work, you know, expand and improve and all of that. But on your portfolio, when you present yourself professionally, you got to look like you got your stuff together, you know, and that you know what you're about. So you don't have to put everything that you are and everything that you do on your portfolio. It's a very small window with one goal only, to get the job. And it doesn't help you when you're all over the place.
What do you think would make a portfolio eye-catching then?
So yeah, specialize, the first thing that you want to do. And then I just suggest to have 12 to 20, but 12 is a great number to start with, strong pieces. and not too many because your best work just get lost, and too little just looks like you're just starting out. So 12 to 20 is a great number, and then very strong supporting pages. Artists forget that a lot of the time, but you know, the about page, the projects or books page, they do a lot of the heavy lifting because they're showing a lot of your professional skills. You know, if
you can... the books page is kind of like a curriculum, really, isn't it?
It is. It shows your experience, and many artists don't know what to put on there. You can put professional projects, but personal projects as well. If you've done an Inktober or things like that, you know, put it on there. Yeah. It's to show that you're able to finish a project, which is the most important thing that an art director is looking for, even more than your beautiful art, is knowing that you're going to meet the deadline. That's important for them.
Do you recommend for artists that are starting out to do a project, even if it's for themselves, to add to their portfolio?
Absolutely, because the best way to show to art directors that you can do the thing is by doing the thing.
You're showing, also shows your style.
Exactly, and you're showing exactly what they're going to get. You know, in picture books, I see a lot of portfolios because I do portfolio reviews. So I see a lot of portfolios in, you know, artists that are trying to get picture book works, and I don't see pages or covers in their portfolio.
You just see loose illustrations, yeah.
Exactly, and you're not showing the art director exactly the finished product that they are going to get and the specific skills in that market, you know, being able to do storytelling and a composition with space for text and, you know, nothing in the middle because the pages are going to fold there. Those are specific skills to your market, and by doing a personal project in that market as if it was a real project, you're even subconsciously hitting all of those things that you need to show.
That's actually a very good advice, I think. And if everyone does the same, like we all take your advice now and we all make the same kind of portfolio thing, how do we make ours a bit more eye-catching compared to the rest?
Well, it's very important to be true to your style and what you can bring uniquely as an artist. Something that I hear all the time is, you know, I'm great at watercolor, but now I want to get into children's books. So how do I learn digital? What do I need? Procreate, a tablet? Like, what is it? And I'm like, why would you need digital? You're already great at what you do. Watercolor, that's something unique. And we all know as artists that we need to bring our own unique voice. But it's like when we try to get into a commercial illustration market, we kind of tend to start forgetting all about that. Suddenly we're like, okay, I need to fit in. And that's not the case, you know? And watercolor or pastel or coloring pencil, whatever it is that you do, it could work wonderfully for children's book or even a tutorial or other markets. And even if you see everyone else do digital, by doing something slightly different, you stand out. So that's important.
So just be yourself with your art style. And most likely you'll find someone that would like your art style for what it is. And
exactly. Don't be scared to stand out from the pack. As long as you are consistent with what you're showing, and of course, as long as it's in line with your target audience. Like if you do gory horror stuff in picture books, like use your common sense. I know that would be everyone hard to swallow. Watching. Yes, you all have common sense. I trust you.
When do you think a portfolio is kind of ready or completed to actually send out?
When it has at least 12 pieces, a bio where you explain exactly what kind of work you're trying to get and makes it clear that you're ready to get work. I see a lot of bios with like, you know, I'm still trying, give me a chance. Yeah. None of that, you know, present yourself.
Be professional.
Exactly. An email address or a contact form to contact you. And a projects page, if you like, is great to show your experience. All of this easy to navigate, not too many colors, not too many fonts, just clean, minimal to put the emphasis on your work.
Yeah.
And you're ready.
Okay. So now that we've got our portfolio all sorted, the next thing I would think to do is find an agent. Do you think it's necessary that illustrators have an agent?
It's not necessary, and I don't think that's the first step. It's very important to start reaching out to clients yourself. You can do clients and agents at the same time, but knowing how to reach out to clients and get your own clients is a crucial skills, because agents don't get you all of your work. Everyone is going to have to do some of that themselves. And I know that it's very tempting to be like, oh, I don't want to reach out to clients, so I'm just going to get an agent and they're going to do that. but they're gonna be finding you maybe, I think my agent finds me about a third of my work. Okay, I've heard of artists where it's a bit more, but especially in the beginning, you shouldn't necessarily expect that. And it's just such an important skill to be able to find your own clients for when you have holes in your schedule.
Yeah. So how do you recommend us reaching out to find clients?
There are many different methods. What I recommend is an active method. So, you know, Instagram, showing your work on, you know, Behance or Twitter or these paid portfolio websites or even platforms like Fiverr. These are passive methods, you know, where you kind of display and you wait for people to hit you up. An active method is when you reach out yourself, and you can do that with email or postcards. Although postcards with COVID, I'm thinking maybe that's
maybe not right, not right now.
I'm actually starting to wonder if postcards are ever going to go back to what they were, because so many more people are working from home now, and remote work is becoming a lot bigger than it was before the pandemic. So I'm thinking postcards may have had their heyday.
I've actually been seeing on some websites that they're not accepting postcards anymore. Like, they just simply do not, and they want everything on email now.
Yeah. You know, they're just not in the office anymore. And I just imagine if ever they get back to the office, they're going to have like bags and bags and bags full of postcards. I don't know what they're going to do with them. But also postcards are expensive. So personally, I've built my whole career on email. You can send as many as you want and it's free. And so I've always went like this and it's worked out well for me. So that's what I would recommend.
How does your process go? Do you find an editor you like, a publisher you like on internet, and then send them your portfolio?
I do a lot of research first, and I have all of my information all organized in like spreadsheets and stuff. I'm kind of a geek.
Oh, it's best to have everything organized or else chaos can happen. So
And then I just send them an email. It has to be short. They are so busy people, so it's not the time to tell your whole life story. It's short and sweet. And you know, there's a classic pitch that everyone knows. It's just like, hi, my name is, I love what you do, I'd like to work with you, here's my portfolio. You can do that, and that's already just as good. But I also developed over the years my own method that is kind of a secret because I'm teaching it in my online course that's coming up.
Yes, definitely.
And so it's kind of an alternate method that I've developed after taking courses in you know, e-commerce and email marketing. I was doing that when I was starting my Etsy shop, and I was learning about some tactics that I was like, huh, you know what? I think maybe I could integrate that with freelance pitches too. And I bet that would work. And it did. So now I have my own method.
You're going to have to be in tune to see when you open the course again.
So basically my method is just trying to get more engagement out of our directors, because with the classic pitch, it is a numbers game, and there's a very small amount of art directors that reply. For me personally, like, I don't have numbers on this, I can just tell my own experience, but for every 100 emails that I would send, I can get anywhere between 1 and 10 replies. So that's a small percentage, and bearing in mind that most of these are rejections, which I can actually work with that, you know, a rejection, I can turn that around and start a conversation and get a job down the line. That's happened many times. But when they don't reply, you can't start a conversation.
Yeah, that's true.
So my method is all about getting those replies so you can start a relationship. And so maybe down the line, even if they don't have a project for you right now, the reason why we get a lot of rejection when we pitch is not because our work is crap, which sometimes it's kind of the instinct that we have, you know, oh, I've been rejected because I'm not good. It's really because art directors are working on like maybe 3-4 projects at a time. They're just not looking for anyone. And so you just want to start a relationship, start a conversation for that. When they do have a project, they'll think of you.
That's a very good advice. Thank you. For someone like, we know that an agent isn't necessary, and you actually recommend us not looking for an agent to start with. Can you give us any tips if someone does want to find an agent?
Yeah, it's not that I don't recommend. I think that, you know, while you're sending your portfolio to clients, you can include agents in that as well. It's never a bad thing to have an agent. It's just we should keep our expectations low, especially at the beginning of our career. If we don't have professional projects already lined up, many agents are just not interested because you've not been proven by the market. That's just how it works. I was sending my portfolio to all the agents, and it took me about 2 years before someone was finally interested. And that's after I was already working with professional publishers, because then they were like, oh, people are interested in your work. But there's nothing to lose in trying. But then even after you have an agent, I really suggest to, you know, not just sit back and let them look for work for you. You have to work with them, you know, to improve your portfolio. Yeah. If you're not getting work after a few months, a lot of people get discouraged and think like, oh, the agent is bad. No, it's because you have to talk with them. You know, why isn't this working? What are you doing to pitch my work? Who are your clients, and what can I do to appeal to them? You know, it's a partnership. You have to talk together and work this out together.
I do like the idea that it's a partnership, because I mean, after all, if it's your career, you do have to fight for it and do it and look for it on yourself and your own terms as well as being partner with an agent. But I do agree with just not sitting back and relaxing.
Most agent artist relationships that don't work out, where, you know, you're not getting any work within the whole first year or something like that, is usually because of miscommunication or no communication at all. That's what sealed the deal with my first agent. It did not work out because, you know, it was my first. I didn't know what it was supposed to be like. And they weren't proactive in communication. And I didn't know that I had to be. And so it kind of just fell apart.
Oh, you learn. Lesson learned.
Lesson learned with my second agent. Astound us. They like started the ball with like, okay, let's have a meeting to talk about your career goals and let's improve your portfolio and all of this. And that's where I learned like, oh, things happen better when we communicate. And so now whenever I have a question or whenever I'm wondering, okay, well, you guys haven't found me work in a while, what's going on? What can I do? And then, you know, I create new pieces for the pitch and it all just happens from there.
Thank you for that insight. Can you give us like 5 tips on finding ways to find a job as an illustrator?
I suggest lots of research. So, you know, if you're a children's book illustrator, go to bookstores and take cell phone pictures of all the all the credits page on all the books. So you get, you know, the names of publishers and the people who's worked on the books and everything. So you can go and contact all of these people. Wherever I go, my partner is always like, oh, where is she? I'm always somewhere in the background taking photos of stuff. And then contact these people. Of course, Googling always works as well. There's a lot of information that you can find on clients' websites. Sometimes they have submission guidelines, which is like they're giving you everything.
They're actually asking you to submit to them.
And sometimes you have to dig a little bit deeper, you know. So look at everything. If they have an FAQ page, try and go there. Sometimes on the contact page, they will have artist submission guidelines. Sometimes you can go find them on LinkedIn to see who's the art director. So become an internet investigator and go find all of the information that you can, because there's always like, honestly, gold nuggets hidden in there that can help you with your pitch. So that would be, I don't know, 1, 2, 3 tips. I don't know. I didn't count.
I think there was 2 or 3, really. I don't know either.
Yeah. And then you can, of course, post your work on, you know, Instagram and things like that. I suggest to do that in parallel with reaching out yourself and to not spend too much time on those methods, because it grows slowly in the background. If you're spending all day, every day just on Instagram, I'm not sure that's a sustainable strategy, because it can take years before it gets to a point where you start seeing a return from that.
I do post consistently, like twice a week. But yeah, most of the time I'm on my computer on internet researching, like you say. That's what I do most of the time.
Yeah, but it just, Instagram, it can take a lot of time. And I've heard a lot of artists that have had, you know, great success with that. So it's not that it doesn't work at all. You know, it does work, but it is a passive way. And I don't know, personally, it's never really jived with me. I'm always looking like, okay, it's taking too long. What can I do now? But yeah, so I suggest doing a mix of the two.
Okay, I think those were 5 tips.
I think so.
Math is not my strong suit. Do you think, I haven't got a degree in illustration, but I've get this question a lot. Do you think it's necessary to get a degree to illustrate picture books or children's books?
No, I have a degree, not in illustration, but in traditional animation. But I don't really use it anymore, and I'm almost kind of sad that no one ever asks me about it. You know, I wish I could say like, oh yeah, I have a degree and that it helped me go forward, but it really doesn't. No one's ever asked me ever since I've become freelance. They just care about the portfolio. So I think the only thing that it really helped me with is confidence. Because I see a lot of people who kind of feel like imposters because they don't have a degree.
Yeah. And they feel like they can actually put the title of professional. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's something that you have to give yourself. You know, not a degree can do that for you or a client or anyone else. You're professional the moment that you decided you are in the arts. And so many artists who don't have a degree feel that we have some insider secrets that they don't. But having a degree myself, I can say there is no secret. And there's nothing that I learned in art school that I couldn't have learned online.
In my case, I haven't had any study in arts, but I am starting now my illustration career. And I do feel like I like research on internet, it gives you so much information, and YouTube channels like yours. And like you can find everything you need online for the questions I had. And after all, art and illustration is your creativity and what comes out from in you. So
absolutely. Yeah. And there are many markets where the style doesn't have to be that like technical. And yes. I don't want to say skilled, but in children's books, for instance, naive styles that are all funky and crooked are great, you know.
Yeah.
you don't need to know exactly, you know, all the rules of perspective and anatomy in order to be able to do that. If you do, that's great. You can also learn this online. Good to know that art schools, they teach you how to do art, which is great skills to have. I mean, the perspective classes I've had, I think, were invaluable, but you can learn this in books online, and they don't teach you about art business either. So even after art schools, there are a lot of illustrators that just like, I kind of don't know what to do from here also. So in that sense, being able to learn by yourself online is actually a skill that can help you in your career.
People that go to art school have had the time during that school to actually find their style. And maybe me, for example, who hasn't studied, has started later. Maybe I've taken more time to find my style. But in the end, it's not necessary to have a degree.
No, it's not. I know that I felt like it was helpful for me. I was learning about animation, right? At the time, I wanted to be an animator. It didn't kind of pan out that way. And for those technical animation skills, I think it was helpful. But for illustration, it did help me with my style. Like you said, you just have time working on different projects. And I had a few epiphanies while I was in school about like, I don't want to do manga anymore. And things like that.
But, I went through that as well.
So just like being in contact with other artists that are doing different things, it's an inspiring environment. But again, you can do that online, Facebook groups, things like that. Especially with nowadays with the pandemic, if you go to an actual art school, you may not actually go there. So
go to art school, that's true.
Yeah.
And now it's actually quite easy on internet to find a community and get chatting with people.
Oh yeah, I actually have a Facebook group, the Freelance Illustrators Cafe.
Yeah, if you can find you me there as check well. It out.
Yes, it's a very nice group, very nice people there, a great blend of professionals and aspiring, great insight from everyone, so it's a great community.
Yeah, it's actually really nice.
I love my people.
We've kind of covered how to submit your portfolio to a publisher, but how often do you keep them updated? Because the portfolio you have to keep on adding your new illustrations, so how often do you update it to the publishers?
I've heard straight from art directors that they like as much as 4 times a year. So every 3 months. The most important part is that you can't pitch to them again unless you have new work to show them. Because if you just send them the exact same portfolio, that's just insulting. They're like, I've already seen this. And I said no last time. So what are you doing? So as long as you have new work to show, you can send it as often as every 3 months.
I've actually up to now I've been doing it twice a year because, like you said, I haven't had enough illustrations to send new ones off. So I've been doing it twice a year just for now.
Yeah.
Don't want to tire them out either.
I used to do, you know, the pitching every 3 months for a good couple of years, and then I started being booked just all the time. So of course I don't do pitching just for the fun of it. So I kind of stopped doing a pitching, and I think it was a whole year later that it started dipping, and then I was doing a lot of complaining to my boyfriend. I was like, I don't have work anymore, why isn't it coming in? I was just kind of moping around for a couple
about
weeks
the pitching.
And then he was like, stop moping and just send some emails. And I was like, all right, that's right, I can do that. So yeah, it's cyclical, you know. You might start thinking that you're good now, you don't have to pitching anymore, and then, you know, a couple of years later, you're like, oh, well, here I go again with the emails.
Apart from picture books, we all covered how to find a picture book job, but how do you find a job in something else that's not picture books that can also give you an income?
Other markets like, you know, editorial or scientific illustration or whatever it is, incredibly similar. You know, you find people you want to work with, send them an email. So it's all kind of
that's
the same.
Yeah.
For other revenue streams, I highly recommend having something else, especially something that you built yourself, like a shop or something like that, so that something that doesn't rely on someone else giving you the work.
Yes.
Because you never know what's going to happen with the market. You know, with the pandemic, we've seen that in April 2020, when it all first started, all of my clients suddenly were like, well, we have to figure out this work from home stuff. And everything was kind of frozen for a couple months. But at that same time, everyone was shopping online, and my Etsy shop did the best numbers it's ever made.
There you go.
So it ended up working out. And that's why it's important to have another revenue streams, because when one is down, you have something else, you know. But it's also important to organize your revenue streams so that you're not just giving yourself, let's say you have three revenue streams, but they're all like different work in different styles. So basically you're giving yourself three full-time jobs. I used to think, you know, if I start a new revenue stream, you know, I'm kind of doubling my revenue, but it takes time away from the first revenue stream. So the first one dips. And so in the end, you know, you might not even make more money. So you have to be smart about it. And if you can sell the same art multiple times, that's the ticket, because it's just kind of more efficient. So you have to think about it for a hot second and not just give yourself more work.
It's like you said, you'll be having two jobs or three jobs at once, really.
That's what I did for myself. Like, I decided to start a clip art store, and I was like, oh, I can do it in different styles, so I'll have some variety. And so I was doing my picture books, and I had all that art sitting on the shelf that I couldn't do nothing with. And then I was doing all this clip art on the side. And then I started a YouTube channel. I was just like, well, I don't have enough hours in the day to do everything.
Yeah.
So I kind of reorganized things recently, like last year. I just reorganized everything. And now, you know, if I do a set of artworks, I can sell them as stickers. I can license them. I can put them in my shop as products. I can do like a whole bunch of things with that same set of illustrations. So it's just smarter. And I have more time to sleep.
Sleep is very necessary.
Very much so.
I'm concentrating on picture books mainly, but I'm also starting the podcast. And I had a shop going on for a while, but I closed that because I was just so busy with picture books. It's like you said, I didn't have time to do everything.
Exactly.
So now I'm just selling prints that I've already done and I've already got an illustration.
That's a great way to do it. You know, if you're doing, if you're keeping the rights to your picture book illustrations, then you can sell that as prints, or you can even sell the originals if you do traditional art. So it kind of, you know, all works together. And that's important because you like doing the picture books and you don't want to not do that anymore.
Anyway, so that was really it for today. I think we covered a lot of ground.
I just realized that we ended up covering all of this during our conversation.
I think we talked about a lot of stuff.
So, it was a fruitful conversation.
Thanks for joining me.
Well, thanks for having me.
And will be below so everyone can check out. And I really recommend your YouTube, especially.
Well, yeah. I hope that everyone found this helpful. And I hope that I'll see you on my YouTube channel.
Thank you, Nez.
Bye-bye.
That's it for today. I'll see you again in the next episode. You can always follow me on social media. You just need to search Barta Taylor Art and I'll be there. And a special thanks to G Beats for the sound and the music of this podcast. See you next time.